This is Gabriel Wrench with Cross-Politic Daily News Brief for Wednesday, September 16th, 2020. Before I get started, I want to make you aware of our new email address for all Daily News Brief listeners. If you have an article, if you have an idea, if you have a link you want to send us, please email us at news@crosspolitic.com. This is a great way to share articles with us and possibly end up in our Daily News Brief. Coronavirus test prices charged by some hospitals and labs stun customers. This is according to USA Today. When Lisa Robertson sought coronavirus testing for her college athlete daughter, a pediatrician recommended a small independent pharmacy in Arlington, Virginia. Preston's Pharmacy charged $35 to take a nasal swab specimen and sent it off to a lab. Principal Diagnostics for quick results. The lab billed her insurance company $864. More than eight times what the Federal Center of Medical Care and Medicaid Services reimburses for COVID-19 tests. Robertson was surprised her insurer, a Blue Cross and Blue Shield plan with robust benefits for federal employees and retirees, paid the full amount via a check that she forwarded to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania-based lab. It's a question more are raising. There have been 85 million tests administered, and congressional mandates require insurers to pay the full cost of testing. Surprise. No matter how much hospitals or labs bill, as routine testing expands to workplaces, universities, and professional sports leagues, labs may have found a lucrative niche amid the pandemic. In July, the House Emergency and Commerce Committee sent inquiries to 10 laboratories and hospitals amid COVID-19 test practices that ranged from $300 to $6,000 for a COVID test. So when the government requires your insurance company to pay for it, regardless of the price, you have to pay for it. Think about this. 85 million tests, million tests here in the U.S. And it's no wonder with the forced demand created by the government's, you know, mandate, and then obviously the artificial market that's being created by the pandemic and the nervous reaction from everybody and, you know, the NFL requiring tests, your local public school requiring tests, all this stuff. Of course, laboratories are going to charge more. Follow the money. Man arrested for starting wildfire with Molotov cocktail gets released from jail and then starts six more fires. Oh my goodness, a man was arrested in Oregon after allegedly using a Molotov cocktail to start a wildfire, was later released from jail, but rearrested 24 hours later for allegedly starting six more fires. Domingo Lopez Jr., 45, was arrested after using a Molotov cocktail to start a small brush fire, the Portland Police Bureau said in a statement on Monday. That is quite amazing. The Portland Police Bureau later reported the same suspect, after he was released, was rearrested just hours later for starting five more fires. Unbelievable. And the suspect who started, you know, all these fires, he was arrested on counts of reckless burning, was transported later to the hospital for a mental health evaluation. So he starts a fire, gets arrested, gets released, starts five to six more fires, gets arrested. And so they say, well, maybe the problem is a mental health evaluation. And what I don't think the arson has the mental issues. I really think the liberal judicial system in Oregon has the mental issue problem there. Have you signed up for our club membership yet? The state of news and mainstream media is appalling. They support Marxist Black Lives Matter. They are a campaign lackey for Joe Biden's campaign, literally for the Democratic agenda, and they will attack any conservative who does not back down from the leftist agenda. When we started Cross Politic about 4 years ago, we never imagined God opening the doors that he has to us in such a short amount of time. We are currently on DirecTV. We're on Xfinity. There's a couple local TV stations that have picked us up. Of course, social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and so forth. And our bread and butter is, of course, our weekly podcast. Between all these platforms, we get about 1 million views or listens a month. We have bootstrapped this ministry, and we're really starting to take off through your generous participation in our club membership. Our club membership is the way we are going to grow the network and, Lord willing, become a formidable voice in our cultural battles. We really do need Christians engaged in politics, and with your club membership, we will do this, Lord willing, for years to come. So support Rowdy Christian Media by joining our club, and we don't leave you hanging. You get, depending on your club level and your participation, a free t-shirt, access to our club content, discounts to our conference, coffee mug, bag of our delicious Sovereign Roast coffee, and more. So please support Rowdy Christian Media and join our club. Ohio high school football players suspended for carrying flags on 9/11 on September 11th. Two football players on the Little Miami, Ohio high school team have been suspended from the team for allegedly defying school officials and carrying a thin blue line and a thin red flags supporting police and firefighters onto the field before last Friday's September 11th game. The two players asked school officials for permission to carry the flags, but they were denied. The players chose to defy the school authorities, and the school responded by slapping them with an indefinite suspension. The superintendent said, "We can't have students who decide to do something anyway after they've been told they should not be doing it. We did not want to place ourselves in circumstances where other family might want a different flag to come out of the tunnel. One that might be, LGBT, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know, some from a different political perspective." But the thing here is, before I go further, there's an update to the article, and the two students were actually reinstated from obviously pressure from the community. But here's why I bring this article up. We are really suckers. We think that there's an actual possible neutral position or that education can be neutral and all these different backgrounds, religions can come and learn in the same building. This really is obtuse and lazy thinking. Imagine if the flag, as I already mentioned, was a Black Lives Matter flag. I guarantee that principal would be leading the flag brigade running out of the tunnel, virtue signaling his white guilt until he ran out of steam by the 50-yard line. You know, imagine having a Christian flag. Imagine all these flags, but then you put things into context and think, oh, Black Lives Matter flag, yeah, that would have flown easily. He can't say no to Black Lives Matter. More than 20% of evangelicals embrace concept of gender fluidity. Lifeway Research, this is according to Discern.com, recently found in its State of Theology survey that 22% of American evangelical Christians believe that gender identity is a matter of choice. That means almost a quarter of those identifying as evangelical in the United States reject biblical principles first articulated in the book of Genesis that God made them male and female. The survey broke down the results by region and demographics this way. So those living in the Northeast are more likely to reject biblical teaching on gender. Those in the 18 to 34 age group are more likely to embrace the concept of gender fluidity, younger population, right? Those living in rural areas are more likely to embrace the biblical teaching of gender. Not a surprise. That's middle America. Those in the 50 to 64 age group are more likely to reject the concept of gender fluidity. There you go. The more old you are, the more you're likely to reject this. Lifeway also found that attending church service makes a significant difference in a person's view of gender. Those who go to church once or twice a month by a margin of about 10% are more likely to embrace the idea that God had made each person as one of two distinct genders. So no surprise here, given the decline of the church, but it is important to note that last paragraph, that regular churchgoers, you know, the ones that are more likely to believe the Bible, right, tend to reject postmodernism, gender fluidity, and the alphabet people. But I do want to point one thing out here. The church has been gender fluid for decades. How many effeminate men are in the pulpit twirling their limp wrist around, authentically working up the courage to come out as gay in 10 years when they need to boost their retirement package? How many women are in the church leadership roles right now? How our family households are functioning egalitarian failures, and you are horrible if you require your son to play football. We have stripped the gender out of God's intended design in the church, and all the world is doing here is just finishing the job. The church started this. The church stripped out, you know, the idea and the role of male and female in the church and in the family, and the world is just finishing the job here. Mark Galley, if you remember Mark Galley, he's the former Christianity Today editor and wrote a Trump piece before he left Christianity Today. Well, he came out as Catholic, I guess if you want to call it that. He's going to be confirmed as Catholic. Mark Galley, who's now 68 years old, this is, of course, according to religionnews.com, He had already decided by the time he wrote that 2019 editorial, if you recall, right before he left Christianity Today, he wrote an editorial basically supporting the impeachment of Trump and so forth. He had already decided that he was going to quit the Anglican Church and basically become Catholic. So that affected, that was in the back of his mind as he's leaving Christianity Today. Mark Galley goes on to say, he says, I'm not rejecting evangelicalism. He said, I'm only taking Anglicanism deeper and thicker. Ugh, whatever that means. One thing, he goes on to say, I like about both Orthodoxy and Catholicism is that you have to do these things, whether you like it or not, whether you're in the mood or not, sometimes whether you believe it or not. You just have to plow ahead. I want that. It is, it's for me. I'm a lazy son of a bitch, as he says. I will not do anything unless someone comes along and says, you need to do this. This is really important. This will shape your life. Come on, Galley, get off your butt. That was a full quote by Mark. I didn't play with it. He said that in his interview. If Galley, one of the things that the interview brings out is that if Galley had one gnawing frustration with Protestant Christianity, it was the ceaseless splintering and division. He tried to work towards that unity through Christianity Today for over 7 years. It left him exhausted. But here's what I don't get. So he joins the Roman Catholic Church, which is literally responsible for murdering hundreds and thousands of Protestants during the Reformation. And don't forget the current, you know, Roman Catholic abuse scandals. But hey, the Protestant Church argues with each other, so Galley's going to bail and become Roman Catholic. You know, but think about this. Galley would rather be connected to a church that prays to Mary, who's dead, cannibalizes Jesus, and covers up homosexual pedophiles. But the Protestant church argues with one another. Sheesh. This is Gabriel Wrench with Cross Politic News. Support Radical Christian Media by joining our club at FightLaughFeast.com, downloading our app, and heading out to our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville this October 1st through the 3rd. With your partnership, you are providing us with the resources to compete with mainstream media. Go to FightLaughFeast.com to take all these actions. Have a great day.